Fans backing up. Here's Giannis. Oh, Brooks takes him down and a foul.
Baines looks upset as if he got it clean and would love to see this again.
Yeah, NBA Strayer. Yeah. Wow, that's the Metallica, yeah. What do you reckon? How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Wednesday, May 1st. Pinching a punch for the first day of the month, you dickheads. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to sling me some of that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better. And Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today, breaking down and wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so two massive game twos to cover today. We've got a big Bucks comeback in Milwaukee, Boston, and a wildly fun, injurious Warriors Rocket showdown. So that's all going to be covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, oh, mate, no, mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's There's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's our back takeouts, where we're serving up a flame grill take, or three. We've also got a brand new Shane Hill Memorial Shoot Your Shot, Light 'Em Up Award, plus a look at the odds and a pick and a preview for Game 2 of Denver-Portland tomorrow. Nice one. And the best bit is, we close out with a brand new Rowdy's Reco, as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by for a bit of a life hack. I love it. All right, man. This is episode 276 of NBA Straya. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah! You better. Oh, you better watch out for the attack of the flying, what, Draymond hands if you're James Harden? Cop a whack in the eye? Look like you've just stumbled out from behind the old grain silo behind Ballarat High School, stoned out of your fucking gourd and having to go to class. Jesus. Or you better watch out if you're Steph Curry's left hand. Holy shit, did you see that dislocated hand? Or finger? Jesus. All right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with a daily whip around. That's right. So we'll get some news. Vince Carter, old man Vincey, officially returning for his 22nd season, which is absolutely bonkers. He's going to be the first player in NBA history to play in four different decades. And to be fair, he might also be the first player to play in five different decades at this rate. Holy shit. Mate, Vince Carter's going to be balling. We're all going to be dead and in the ground. On you, Vince. That's great. That's right, man. He played in the 90s, the 1000s, the 10s, and now it's going to be the 20s. Shit. We're all getting old, bro. Pop is back. Apparently, once Greg Popovich formally commits to his 24th season as San Antonio Spurs coach, it's going to be a part of a three-year contract, keeping him as the NBA's highest-paid coach. On you, Pop. Way to go, Spurs. The Mavs, apparently, according to Mark Stein, intend to fling themselves into the chase for Chris Middleton and or Kemba Walker. In the hopes that they have a shot at one of them. Well, you'd hope so. Kemba would be really good on the Mavs, wouldn't he? Next to Kristaps. Next to Luka Doncic. That'd be fun. There you go. And Luke Walton, the NBA, and the Sacramento Kings, who he is now the head coach of, don't forget, have named three women to lead the investigation of Luke Walton's sex assault allegations. Good. Nice one. Some other fun news. Ex-ref Steve Javy took some shots at Chris Paul before game two today, saying he was a dickhead. Everyone's like, yeah, no shit. Steve, we already knew that. Anyway, Steve was talking to Frank Isola on Sirius XM NBA Radio saying he's very, very difficult for refs to deal with because it seems like he has a disdain for them. No shit. He also added that it might be the competitiveness that gets the better of him, but at some point you'd think in your career that you'd maybe learn to control yourself more or be a little bit more mature, and he's not. Whoa, Steve, Jesus, taking shots at Chris Paul. Love it. Because, yeah, who would have thought Chris Paul was a hated member for the refereeing community? Ah, bitch and mine. Who would have thunk? All right, let's get into the game wraps for today. We had two game twos. It was fun as hell. First half of game one was incredible. All of game two was pretty great. So game two of Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland, beating the Boston Celtics in Milwaukee, 123-102. This was fun as hell. Milwaukee, proving why they're the one seed, came out and crushed it. Their defense showed up big time. So the big questions about going into this series was, will Milwaukee's defense show up? And it did in game two, did not in game one. Can Boston slow down Giannis? Look, they did for bits, and when they did, they were in the game. When they did not, that's when they got their asses handed to them. The key blokes, obviously, Giannis and Kyrie and Horford, all of which basically dictated how this game went, because Kyrie was not very good at all, and they lost, and Giannis was pretty good, and they won. But it really comes down to like dudes like Bledsoe and Tatum, the second or third most important dudes per team. And that really, really shone through today with Bledsoe having a great game and Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes, sucking. So matchups always keep an eye on here. Giannis versus Horford, Jalen Tatum, Mook Morris. He was much better at dealing with them, forcing him to go left. You could still see them trying to do it. He was much better at dealing with that. So good job, Giannis. And Terry Rozier versus Eric Bledsoe is always fun. So we'll talk about that at the end of this. So game two, this was interesting. The Bucks started. Niko Mirotic, hello. Look at very thick beard. He's very good to shoot threes with big beard. Nice one, Niko. He was all right. Giannis didn't hit a field goal for a very, 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 very long time in this game. He had 10 free throw attempts in the first 13 and a half minutes of the game. Finally scored a field goal with 8 minutes 54 left in the second. There's a lot of Pat Connaughton for the Bucks in this. He played 17 minutes early and ended up playing 30 minutes total in place of basically Sterling Brown in the first half as well. So that was fun. Lots of Pat Connaughton running around with like a fucking chuck with chicken with its head cut off. Chook with its head cut off. That's what I'm trying to say. Mook Morris smashed a couple of threes in the first half. Giannis airballed a couple of threes, which is pretty funny. But it was Chris O'Middleton hit 5 threes in the first half on his way to 20 points in that first half. He was unreal. Kyrie was struggling. And every time there was like a 4-8 of the rim from the Celtics, just seemed like they couldn't quite get there. They didn't have the push and that oomph to get the bucket in. And Kyrie in particular was pretty rough. It was tied 53-53. But then George Hill hit a 3 at the halftime buzzer. Bucks ended up going into the half 59-55 up. And then Milwaukee came out firing in the third. They got up 9 very quickly. And then it was 10. And then it was 16. And then it was 31 later. Holy shit, this is wild. Because, mate, there was 7 minutes left in the third quarter. It was 74-71. And then the Boston Celtics had 16 straight possessions with either a miss or a turnover. Yeesh. 16. No, that's not 6 steamed possessions. No, it's 16 possessions. Jesus, we had Kyrie, Jalen, Gordo missing threes, and there was a Horford, Hayward, Morris turnovers. Kyrie missing a jumper. Kyrie with another turnover. Rose missed a jumper. Tatum had a miss. Aaron Bangers-Baines had the tip in, but it was still off a miss. Hayward had a miss. Rozier missed a 3 and then a 2. Jaylen Brown had a miss, and Horford and Tatum turned it over. They scored 2 points in that entire run in that 7 minutes, and it went from 74-71 to 98-73. Holy shit. They basically went on a 28-2 run after this. Absolutely wild. Bledsoe putting him up 23. It was absolutely massive. Hit a massive 3. So, yeah, the Bucks outscoring them by 21 points in that quarter. 39-18. Absolutely brutal. Brutal for Boston. They shot 7 of 21 for the quarter versus 12 of 21 for the Bucks. Absolutely crazy. And that was that, man. Like, Bledsoe had a bucket, like a big 3 with like 3 minutes, I think, into the fourth. And that put them up 105-75. So up by 30, and that was just, yeah, all over Red Rover. So look, let's break it down for the Celtics. They shot 39.5% for the game. They got out-rebounded 54-45. Kyrie had an absolute Barry Crocker shocker. 4 of 18 from the field, mate. This is those moments when he's not Aussie Kyrie. He's like, oh, no. No, we don't need him. 4 of 18, 1 of 5 from downtown. We'll talk about him later. Average Al Horford had 15, 8, and 3. Not quite as effective as he was in game 1. Giannis negated him a little bit, and he looked just a hint slower. Didn't get a couple of like easy buckets that he needed, and yeah, there you go. Held him in check. Jaylen Brown was good again, 5 of 12 from the floor, 16 points. He was a minus 29, though, Jaylen Brown. kind of got beat on defense a couple of times where you're like, Jalen, keep your eyes open. But at the same time, he probably fucking kept the Celtics in this in big parts of the second quarter. So Mook Morris was on fire, 6 of 8 from the floor for his 17 points, 3 of 4 from downtown as well with 7 rebounds. But really, it was their important bench players for the Celtics. Gordon Hayward, Gordo, and Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier went 3 of 15 between them. Gordo played 31 minutes for 5 points. After a very solid game 1, that's a not a great return for your game 2. 1 of 5 from the floor, 1 of 3 of which from downtown. 3 assists, 0 rebounds. Rozier had 9 points on 10 shots. Yeesh, 2 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 4 from 3. Bangers, Aaron Bangers Baines got out there running around. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch, but he missed a 3, only had 4 points. And that was it, basically, for the Boston bench. Yabu, Yabusele, Daniel Tice, Semi Ojeleye, Wanamaker, Bob Willey. They were all out there for just tiny little bits in garbage time, and that was it, mate.
That was bloody well it, I'll tell you.
Oh, Tice didn't get out there. What I'm talking about? No, Robbie Williams 3 was out there. Yeah, so not great for the Celtics, I'll tell you that much. They shot okay from 3. They went 10 of 28, but it's Rozier going 0-4 and then Kyrie 1-5, and yeah, it just really sank him. But to be fair, the Bucks, their defense was absolutely suffocating. There was absolutely nothing that Boston could really do in that third quarter. It's just like, we're going to keep going. Turnover, turnover, turnover. Miss shot, miss shot, miss shot. You're like, yeah, the Bucks just gave him the clamps. The Bucks starter shot 16 of 32 from 3 in this game, which was absolutely bananas, and they shot 44% overall. Giannis Antetokounmpo went 7 of 16 from the floor for 29 points because he hit 1 bajillion free throws. 13 of 18 he goes from the charity stripe. The old, who's that? Kyle Sandilands, that's right. Kyle Sandilands is Mrs. Brazilian, isn't it? The charity stripe. 29 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block for the Greek freak. But Chris O'Middleton absolutely smashed it. 7 of 10 from downtown, 28 points. He was basically the reason they got the big lead and kept it. Eric Bledsoe put on a bled show. 21 points for him. 7 of 12 from the floor. 3 of 5 from downtown with 5 assists. Brook Lopez went 3 of 8 from downtown for his 10 points. Nico Mirotic, hello! 9 points for the big... fuck, what's Nico? Better look that one up. Nico Mirotic, hello! Ah, jeez. Ah, that's right, he's Montenegrin. Serbian Montenegro, but Montenegrin Spanish professional basketball player. Anyway, good job, Nico. 9 rebounds as well to go with his 9 points, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. He was very, very good. A lot of hustle in Nico. For a dude they picked up for fucking pennies on the dollar, it's pretty great. Pat Connaughton played 30 minutes, as mentioned, off the bench. 2 of 4 from the floor for him. 1 of 3 from 3. 5 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. Did a lot of everything. But again, as I said, shook with his head cut off. Ersan Ilyasova, 4 points, 4 rebounds. Georgie Hill had 10 points and an amazing foul when he went up, landed basically, then jumped into Gordon Hayward, and the refs called the foul on Hayward. Pretty remarkable, I'll tell you that much. I don't know, Stephen A. Smith, what did you think of that?
What was that? What the hell was that?
What the hell was that? The rest of their bench, I mean, it was like Snell hit a 3, Frazier got out there, he had 2 points. DJ Wilson, 5 minutes when the game was over for 2 points as well. But yeah, their starters absolutely smashed it. So good job, Milwaukee. They tied up 1-1. And what do we do every game? We check out on the Eric Bledsoe, Terry Rozier. Eric Bledsoe, 21 points, as mentioned, 3 of 5 from 3, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. He was a plus 23. Terry Rozier, 9 points, 2 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 4 from downtown, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a minus 1. Also, you got to see the tattoo on the back of his head, which is apparently his birthday. Every time I look at the clock, it's always 3:17. It looks like lie upside down, which is weird. Anyway, series 1-4 in the East. It's all tied up 1-1. Over to the West, Golden State versus Houston. Game 2 in Golden State. The Warriors pull this one out 115-109. They had a 15-point lead at times of this. It got all the way back down to 6. And Chris Paul had a wide open 3 that he fucking clanked with about a minute to go, and that was less than a minute to go, and that was all she wrote. So the best part was going into this game, Scott Foster was assigned to this game, and everyone's like, hang on a second. Isn't that the guy who hates the fucking Rockets to the point where he hasn't worked a single Rockets game since February after Harden was fined for criticizing him when Harden fouled out in LA, and Chris Paul hates the guy? Anyway, one big question each for both these teams. We had Houston. Do they have any fear? No, they do not. And can Golden State pull it together? I mean, they didn't play too great today and they still won, no problem. So, yeah, I guess they can. The key blokes, PJ Tucker, could he keep KD in check? He didn't in game one, but he did in game two to at least an okay degree. And also offered up a little bit of his own offense, but still it wasn't enough. And Iggy in the Golden State bench. Iggy just keeps smoking them. He had another massive game, so that's definitely a key bloke. Stephen Clay, are they healthy? Yeah. Harden, is he all good? Yep, sure. Matchups to keep an eye on. KD versus Tucker, as mentioned, all good. Clint Capella versus whoever Golden State have at center. Ooh, that's a bit trickier. So this one was a fun one. It was kind of tight. Shit was going wild. Steph Curry dislocated his left middle finger. Looked wild. Popped it back in. Went and got some x-rays. They were negative. He was back on the court laughing. But the craziest part was James Harden got whomped in the face by Draymond as well. Started bleeding out of his fucking eyeballs. Went into the locker room. There were silly threes being rained down everywhere. Steph hit a couple. It was absolutely fun as hell. Harden, bleeding from his eyes, came back onto the bench. Well, 3 minutes in the second quarter, got back in, started draining threes. And everyone's like, what the fuck is going on? This game is bananas. And it really, really was. The second half, I mean, the Rockets had 12 turnovers in that first half. It was not pretty. But they sort of stayed within, you know, a little bit of contact. Like, what? Midway through the second quarter, they're only down like three. It did eventually end up around, what, 14? And then I think it was, what, 12 at the half. So a bit of a rough one there for the Rockets. But they did play the Warriors. They're down nine at the half. There you go. They did play them to a draw in the second quarter. Came out and actually won the third quarter, which was a bit of a surprise considering that the Warriors came out and absolutely started fucking smoking it and snuck out pretty big. Got up 15, and then the Rockets just started pegging them back slowly, but bloody well surely. So, you know, gave themselves a bit of a shot. Couldn't quite get there, and it was the offensive rebounding for the Warriors that just kept giving them shots, extra shots, extra shots. Just one after the other. You're like, Jesus Christ, Houston, you've got like the tallest dude out there. What the fuck is going on? And yeah, 18 offensive rebounds for the Warriors. They end up with 91 field goal attempts to 77 for the Rockets. This is the Rockets of all fucking teams. And they have 14 less field goal attempts. So, yeah, that'll do you in, basically. So, turnovers. It was 12 turnovers for the Warriors, 17 for the Rockets. And, obviously, as mentioned, the rebounding was just an absolute shocker for the Rockets. So, Chris Paul, as mentioned, missed 2 threes late. They probably could have cut it down to 3, but he missed both. Chris, maybe less whinging about the refs and just hit some fucking shots, hey? Just saying. This team spent basically the last 2 days bitching and moaning about the refs. Came out. The refs didn't really have a giant part to play in this one, apart from when Ed Malloy gave a bullshit double tech to Draymond and Nene for fucking looking at each other. Fuck you, Ed Malloy. But yeah. Houston. Just didn't look quite ready for it, did they? That was a bit rough. So 18 turnovers, as mentioned. Not 18. 17 turnovers. And out-rebounded 41-45, gave up 18 offensive rebounds, Harden 29 points, that came on 9 of 19 field goals, and had more turnovers than field goals going into the fourth quarter. Not ideal. Ends up shooting 9 of 19, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 3 of 7 from downtown, but I mean, for a bloke who could barely fucking see, that's not too bad, you know? Come on! The dude was fucking blind for half of this, he's out there dropping threes. I'd be in a fucking hospital bed. Good job, fast Jimmy Harden. And to be honest, he's probably played with a whole bunch of stripper glitter in his eyes before. So really, yeah, he's kind of like, hey, I've done this before. I got this. Chris Paul, 18 points. He shoots 6 of 14, 2 of 7 from downtown, including those two late I mentioned. 6 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 turnovers for Chris Paul. I don't know, man. Those two big misses were just like, Chris Paul, there's a reason why you're being paid $40 million. Is to hit those shots in the fucking West semis against the reigning world champs. Eesh. Clint Capella had a much better game than he did in game one. He had 14 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. Fouled out eventually and went 5 of 7 from the foul line, but he did muffle just a couple of long passes. And the Warriors were very, very, very effective at boxing him out of those little in-the-paint little lobs that James Harden loves to throw to him. Where the defenders are sort of backpedal going, fuck, he's going to shoot it. Oh, no, he's going to lob it. I don't know what to do. Oh, crap. And, yeah, The Warriors were very, very on top of that. PJ Tucker had 13 points and 10 rebounds. He was pretty bloody good. Went 3 of 5 from downtown. Eric Gordo Gordon went 6 of 13 from the field. 3 of 7 from 3. Kept him in it a couple of times there. He sort of got going, but it just couldn't get it clicking properly, which is a big shame. 15 points for him. For the bench, I mean, look, Austin Rivers got over his 24-hour flu and actually played in this one. Very, very good game for him. 14 points. I mean, he might have the most punchable fucking face in the entire NBA. But he was very good today. 4 of 6 from downtown. 6 points from Geraldo Green from the Rockets. But a combination of 19 points elsewhere from Kenny Faried, Daniel House Jr., Nene, and Iman Shumpert, they netted 0 points. That's right. Shump went 0 of 4 from downtown. Daniel House went 0 of 2. And Kenny Faried went 0 of 1. And Nene didn't even take a shot. So for those guys to go a combined 0 of 7 in 19 minutes is pretty rough for the Rockets to overcome. Yeah, a bit of a rough one there, I'll tell you. Anyway, for the Warriors, they started the death lineup again. Obviously, Iguodala, known center. They used the death lineup for 24 minutes complete in total tonight, and they outscored the Rockets 73-61 in that time. 101 points total for their starters, meaning there's only 14 points total from their bench. The Coward Snake, Kevin Durant, led the way. 29 points for him. The Slim Reaper, 9 of 22 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3. He was pretty good every time they needed a bucket. He didn't look quite on, but he just sort of went, yeah, all right, I better score, and did. Pretty handy. Steph Curry, look, for a 6'3" preteen, not bloody bad. Dislocated his finger and still had 20 points on 6 of 16 shooting. Did go 3 of 13 from downtown, though. So let's not just go, just so brave. What a performance. 3 of 13. Jesus, Steph. Come on, mate. What else? 3 points. 3 rebounds, 5 assists for him. Was in foul trouble again in the fourth quarter in this one. Just can't stop fouling, can he? Klay Thompson was much better in game 2 than game 1. 8 of 18 from the floor for him. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 of 9 from downtown, including a massive steal on Clint Capella late that made him look like an NFL safety coming over the top and stealing it from the receiver. That was pretty good. Draymond had a great game. He had 15 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals, which is everywhere. Iggy also chucked in 16 points, 6 of 9. Nice from the floor for him. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. Their bench, as mentioned, 14 total points. That came 6 from Livingston, 2 from Looney. Big Andy Bogut had 2 as well. Oh, no, he didn't. That's from yesterday. What am I doing? And Jerebko had 4 points. McKinney had 2. There you go. That's your 14. I think that got us there, didn't it? Yes. Nice. Anyway, but they actually got a little bit of oomph out of their bench, just enough. Whereas all the Houston bench was Austin Rivers. So, yeah. Good job, Warriors. They smashed it. They now lead 2-0 in this series. And you know what happens then? 93% of teams that lead 2-0 in a 7-game series, they end up winning the series. Oh, jeez. Hate that stat. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia Proof Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
James Christian Middleton. That's right, Chris O. Middleton. Absolute game breaker for the Bucks. I mean, yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo at 29-10-4. He was awesome. I get it. 2 of 4 from 3. Just kept going at them over and over and over. 13 of 18 from the free throw line for Giannis. That's all well and good. Pretty great. Only one turnover in the 31 minutes for him as well. But come on, it was James Christian Middleton who absolutely busted this game wide open for the Bucks. Absolutely crushed it. 28 points, 7 rebounds and an assist. 10 of 18 from the floor. 7 of 10 from 3. Mate, when no one could hit a shot for the Bucks, especially in that sort of first half, Chris O. Middleton was out there going, it's all good. I'll hit some shots. What do you reckon? They outscored the Celtics 34-25 in the second quarter. That really sort of gave them a bit of oomph and gave them that head of steam heading basically into the third quarter. And that was all thanks to Chris Middleton. So he gets the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night. And the honorable mention for the second game goes to Draymond. He was awesome. It's weird. You've got a couple of, what, 3 MVPs on that court? Yeah, you got the Coward Snake Durant, you got Steph the Bitch Curry, and you got James Fast Jimmy Harden. Draymond was out there, probably being the best type of Draymond you could hope for today. So 14, 12, and was it 7 for him? So good on him. Pretty bloody good. And I'm happy for him, you know. Because bad Draymond sucks. Just saying. Oh, mate, no mates.
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 Oh, mate, no mates. Oh, mate, no mates. Kyrie Irving.
Oh, tell us again, Kyrie, how experienced you are and how good you are at being a leader, Kyrie. Please, please, can you tell us all about that as you shoot 4 of 18 for the fucking game, mate. 1 of 5 from 3 for 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists and 3 turnovers, which even felt like more. Kyrie, how do you go back to that locker room going, hey guys, you better listen to me, your glorious leader, Kyrie Irving? Jaylen Brown's going to be sitting there going, motherfucker, you shot 4 of 18. Shut your pie hole, Kyrie. Just fuck off, mate. Yeah, rubbish game from Kyrie. Absolutely brutal from Aussie Kyrie. It's one of those games, as mentioned, where you're like, yeah, he's not Australian. What are you talking about? He doesn't want to be an Australian. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Brook Lopez, who has emerged here in Milwaukee, is a steady three-point shooter, particularly from three. Ah, Marv Albert, you are the spud of the night. Brook Lopez, who has emerged here in Milwaukee, is a steady three-point shooter, particularly from three. That's right, Marv. To be a three-point shooter, you have to shoot them from three. Again, after Milwaukee won game two, Marv also added, the Bucks have retaken home court advantage. Marv, I hate to break it to you, but that's a no. Yeah, nah, that's not how you retake home court advantage, Marv. Also, you know, kept calling Nico Mirotic Brook Lopez, called Ilyasova Lopez. Also said Chris Mirotic at one point, and also said that it was the Bucks' first semifinals win since 1986. Marv, they went to the conference finals in 2001. To go to the conference finals, one has to win the semifinals. Ah, it was a champagne Marv game where it's like the classic, ah, for three. Ah, now they're saying his foot was in his line, where they're shooting from like the free throw line or something. Just classic Marv. Yes, Brook Lopez. Yes, good stuff. I mean, Nikola Mirotic. Ah, Marv, what are you doing, mate? Panting of the night goes to Ersan Ilyasova, who fell over. Oh, he got crossed up by Terry Rozier. Nah, he got tripped by Al Horford. So panting of the night actually goes to Clint Capela, which, if you did not know, Clint Capela is a 7-foot Swiss gentleman. He was blocked tonight by Steph Curry, a 6'3" preteen. Yeah, that's panting and a half. That's like standing up at school assembly, singing the national anthem and being dacked by a year 7. Not great, not great. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody. As long as we're sitting at home saying that it's balling season by scratching our balls.
It's balling season.
That's what it is. It is balling season. So better than Lonzo Ball today is Jason Tatum. Ah, that's right. Oh, but James, wasn't he shit? Yes. Yes, he was, dear listener. Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes, is just out there living up to my billing as the rich man's Harrison Barnes. Had a shocker, went 2 of 10. Oh, but I thought he was going to be an MVP this year. 0 of 2 from the 3. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 4 fouls, minus 18. Oh, Jason. Even Harrison Barnes would have done better than that. In fact, Harrison Barnes did do better than that in his second year in the playoffs. But anyway, because literally anything is better than Lonzo Ball at this point, remember? Because he's sitting at home in Calabasas listening to his dad rant and rave about how he never lost while also trying to figure out how to get back the $2 million his dad's best mate stole from him. So, you know, probably better than Lonzo Ball. All right. Yeah, Nas, right after. Let's say this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Feeling much better today. I didn't swallow any bugs. That was fucked. Just walking along, opened my mouth for like a half second, bug flies in, gets stuck in my fucking throat, goes up behind my nose. I'm coughing it up the rest of the fucking day. It was weird. I was smelling eucalyptus for the rest of the day. I felt like I was having a fucking stroke. All right. Anyway, feeling good today, though. Let's do it. It's time for Yeah, Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should Marv Albert hang him up? Yeah, nah. No. Come on, man. It's actually more fun listening to him fuck up than listening to some boring-ass spuds like Brian Anderson or fucking Greg Anthony. I mean, Brian Anderson is also the most forgettable boring-ass name for a boring-ass play-by-play guy as well, right? That's right, Marv, isn't it? Yes! Yeah, love Marv. Next up. Are the Bucks back in charge of this Bucks-Celtics series? Yeah, nah. Well, nah, because you lost at home, Bucks. Until you win in Boston, you're still staring down the fucking barrel. And even though Marv Albert might believe that you've got home court advantage back, you do not. next up. Is Warriors-Rockets still the finals? As everyone goes, oh, this is basically the finals, mate. Whoever wins this, they're just going to win. Yeah, nah. I mean, because literally it's still only the West Semis, but still. Look, I do tend to think that the Warriors can beat anybody. I'm not convinced, though, that Houston could beat, what, Milwaukee and maybe even Toronto at this point, let alone getting past, like, Portland or Denver in the Western Conference Finals. So I'm definitely going to say that's a nah to saying that this is the finals. It's interesting because it really has, like, they're beating the shit out of each other, these two teams, and it's going to be an interesting one for whoever gets through that Nuggets-Blazers series and into the final, or whoever gets through into the finals and whatever from the East. I reckon got a really good shot. Next up, is Draymond right? Was all the ref chatter the last few days, as he said, embarrassing for the game? Yeah, nah. Yeah! And you know whose fucking problem that is, Draymond? Yours! Because you fucking bitch and moan every time anything happens, you dickhead! So really, the ref chatter is because you fucking throw a spaz fit every time something fucking happens. Anyway, but it wasn't too bad in game two, which is pretty cool. And Draymond did actually say he reckon both teams realize that, cut down on the complaining. How about you just do that every fucking night? To be fair, they should have complained about Ed Malloy a little bit more. And Chris Paul's still a fucking whiny bitch when he's like jumping up and down for joy when they actually got a call going their way. What a fucking little smartass. Wouldn't be surprised if one of the refs just took a swing at him one day, right? Yeah, it pays to be the president of the Players Union. And finally, is Ice Cube right? Should the Clippers, because they'll never own LA, just move to Seattle? Oh, Delali. Yeah, nah. I mean, for my interests, fuck yeah. But economically and for Steve Ballmer's $2 billion goddamn investment, probably nah. I mean, Ballmer paid $2 billion to have a team in the second biggest city in the USA, right? You're trying to build your own arena down there in Inglewood. You're going to make those dollars and ducats, and that's how you're going to do it. So, I don't know. I would love to have the Sonics back. I have my Sean Kemp post, Rain Man poster on behind me. I've got my Sean Kemp home jersey, the 96 one, just hanging behind me as well. I've got my signed Nate McMillan poster up on the wall behind me. And I've got my signed Gary Payton fucking Inside Sport cover over there. So, I want a team back in Seattle more than anybody, but I'm not entirely convinced that the Clippers should bounce from LA and go do that. I think there's more. Look, just the sheer fucking size of LA means that there's always going to be like people going to Clippers games. And if you give something people want to go check out, they actually are very, very good, and they land one of these marquee free agents, people will go there. But should they move to Seattle? I mean, just fucking do it, please. Someone! I'll take any team at this point. Apart from maybe the Magic. All right, the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I think I'm in the vocal minority of like people saying, yeah, Marv Albert sucks, but I'm of the opinion that it only makes it far more fun. Because at least Marv, he just fucking runs over the top with it because he's just that experienced. I know that he's a weird sex creep, allegedly. And he's just a fucking, probably allegedly, a piece of shit. But at least he's like not of the Hubie Brown variety of like, and you gotta see these guys, they shot 7 to 13 from the field. And that means that they're good from like the mid-range and they should probably shoot more of the mid-rangers, don't you? And it's like, come on, settle down, Hubie. Mate, but Marv Albert, love him. Absolutely love him. His fuck ups make him way more fun to listen to. It's pretty good. Also, extra unpopular opinion of the day. I don't know if this is unpopular, but hey, every time a ref has a tech rescinded, they should be fined. What do you reckon? Make them think about what they're doing a little bit harder. Ed Molloy, that fuckwit ref today, gave out a fucking double tech to Draymond, who's like now up to like four techs, I think, for the playoffs. And it's like, it's seven that you get suspended. It's like, he did nothing. He literally did nothing. It's like him and Nene just looking at each other, and Ed Molloy charges over, gets in between them and gives him a double tech. It's like, Ed, they're not going to fucking punch on, you idiot. What are you doing? Chill the fuck out. Jesus. Anyway, it's Wednesday at our back, and you know what that means? Oh, it's Walkabout Wednesday with West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker cooking up some West Sydney Razorback ribs. Only at our back takehouse. And they go great as a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled takes are: the NBA fixed the Milwaukee-Boston game by having a ref who's known to hate the Celtics ref it, so it'll go to seven games for ratings. Because the Celtics are now 1-9 in Tony Brothers games. Also, the NBA put Scott Foster on the Warriors-Rockets game to give the Warriors a bit of a chance to get this to seven games for ratings as well. Because we all know Scott Foster fucking hates the Rockets. And finally, a flame grill take is: Carmelo Anthony might be more useful to the Rockets in this series than Daniel House Jr., Iman Shumpert, or Gerald Green. That's right. Bring back Mello. Only at Outback. All right, we'll be back at the Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. We had Bangers Baines and Andy Bogut in action today. Bangers got out there for 10 minutes. He had 4 points, went 2 of 3 from the field. 0 of 1 from 3, unfortunately. So hashtag Bangers, 3-point watch. He's up to, I believe, 1 of 3 from 3 for the postseason. Let's just check that, actually. Because he went 1 of 1, I think, in game 1. So let's have a look. Let's check my work. Geez. Oh, yeah, he's done all right. He's gone. He went 1 of 2 in the first round. He's gone 1 of 2 so far. Shooting 50% from 3, Bangers. On you, mate. He also got slugged with 4 anti-Strain fouls, which is some bullshit in 10 minutes. Jesus. The 1 rebound, 1 block as well, though. On you, Bangers. Andy Bogut got out there for 2 minutes against the Rockets today. 0 points, 0 of 1 from the floor, 2 rebounds, and was a +1. It's pretty good. On your bogey. Just classy as always. And look, we've got Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Jonah Bolden. Son of Bruce taking a bit of a break. They're back Friday, which would be pretty cool. In the meantime, did you know the players guarded by Ben Simmons in the playoffs this year so far are shooting 28.9% from the field, which includes 10 of 47 from 3. It's only 21.2%. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, give him the clamps. Love it. All right. What else do we do on Wednesdays? Oh, it's time for the Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot a Shot, Light Him Up Award.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I am healed. That's right, it's the Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot a Shot, Light Him Up Award. We could give this to Chris Middleton today. 7 of 10 from downtown was absolutely flying. Had it going like the hammer in his Brisbane Bullets pomp. When he was out there dismantling my beloved Seattle Supersonics, the T-Wolves, he was absolutely the reason they smoked the Celtics today, the old Middleton, James Christian Middleton. But also Klay Thompson busted a couple of runs tonight of his own that basically won the Warriors the game. He only had 21 points. More was scored by KD, that's fine. He went 3 of 9 from 3, but it didn't matter because he basically went on these little individual runs where the Rockets were threatening. Klay's like, fuck it, give it to me. Bang, bang, hit a back-to-back threes in the third quarter that put them up 15 to really, really twist the dagger on the old Rockets and then steady them again late with a couple of back-to-back buckets too. So great shit, Klay, but this actually is going to go to, it's unfortunately going to go to the same winner of the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award on Monday. It's the coward snake, Kevin Durant. That's right, before he was saying, I'm Kevin Durant, you know who I am. He was averaging 22 points a game. Since then, he went, I'm Kevin Durant, you know who I am. He's averaging 38.3 points a game. Shane Heal-esque. All right, let's do the Patty Mills Game Day Ball Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? It's a bit of a shame. Patty Mills should be jumping on Twitter much more than he is, but, you know, I reckon he's probably on holidays hanging out. He did tweet out Megan Hustwaite, her article in the Herald Sun about Jingling Joe Ingles, and he retweeted her tweet saying, "In today's Herald Sun, my feature on hashtag Team Ingles, at Renee Ingles, and at Joe Ingles have dealt with two-year-old son Jacob's autism diagnosis as a family." And then a very, very lovely photo of Renee and their twins. Ah, that's awesome. On ya, Patty, you legend. That's pretty great. And the best part is we've also got Joe Ingles back in Melbourne just hanging out watching Maths and MasterChef. So Jingling Joe is out there tweeting out, "Hey, Joe, any chance you'll give MasterChef a crack once you retire?" Jingling Joe Ingles replied, "For sure. Ask Renee Ingles. I'm already a MasterChef." Classic Jingler. Ah, bring in the lols. All right, let's do the game preview for tomorrow as well and check out some odds and do a bit of a preview for Denver and Portland.
Game preview.
That's right. There's only one game. Isn't that right, Inadvertent Bane?
Yes, it is. That's pretty weird. What else are we going to do tomorrow?
I don't know. I'll have to maybe treat the old mate to cooking dinner or something. What do you reckon? Yeah, fire up a Luxa. I can do that. No problems. All right, Blazers, Nuggets. Nuggets are 4-point favorites at home tomorrow. And look, they were pretty handy in game one, but I'm going to take the Blazers plus 4 in this one. I'm going to take the Nuggets minus 4. Cantor's shoulder really worries me. They got a lot out of him in game one, and I can't really see him matching that again with a fucking like dislocated shoulder that's going to be hurting. Sure, it's probably going to be feeling better like a couple of days later, but I've got a feeling Nikola Jokic just goes at him over and over and over again. Him and Thrillsap could really put the Portland Bigs in the blender. So I'll take the Nuggets minus 4. It kind of hurts my heart a little bit. I'd rather see the Blazers split this and make it a much more interesting series for game 2, but I just kind of feel like the Nuggets, that game 1 was a real settler, you know, where they're just like, "Oh, wait, yeah, we can do this. All right, cool. How neat is that? We're excited. Let's do this damn thing, you know?" So let's give us Nuggets minus 4. And yeah, hope that the Blazers win, lose our pick, but what are you going to do? Nuggets minus 4, that's a pick for tomorrow. Cool, all right. Shit, that's it. Smashing it. All right, man, well, that's it for today. We're back tomorrow. We're going to be wrapping up that game. We're also going to have some other fun stuff. We're going to have a great moment in NBA Australia stat history tomorrow. We're going to have the Diary of Stephen Adams, some other cool stuff. I'm going to dig up a couple of other segments. Yeah, it's going to be fun. But anyway, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram, all that sort of shit. We're all over the socials during the games, you know that. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever Android app you use. If there's stars, fucking give us 5 or else I'll just fire. Come on. Go tell a mate as well. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, though. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's an absolute rip snorter. The missus has been wearing the t-shirt around the house. It looks awesome. House Hats, they kick ass. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And if you want to go to NBAAustralia.com and you're going to go do some shopping on Amazon, go to NBAAustralia.com first, smash the giant Amazon button on the right-hand bloody side, and then go do your shopping. And they'll kick us a couple of shekels on the back end because we sent you to them. So go do that, NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, go to us first, then click on that big link. Help us out. Come on. Yes, nice. All right, that's it for today. We're going to finish up with a brand new Rowdy's Recos as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by with a new life hack. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, ho, the- Oh. Hello there, friends. It's Ryan, Rowdy Brockoff here. Just back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. After all, I played in Russia where I was once put in a box. Not in a basketball box or anything. Literally, I was put in a box by the Russian mafia because I hit a three that I shouldn't have. I was in there for 2 days. So yeah, I guess you could say I've dealt with ridding myself of my fair share of stress. So this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, really simple. If you're stressing out, if life is getting a little bit overwhelming, one of the very easiest life hacks out there, one of my favorites, is a really, really simple way of relaxing yourself and great for your mindset. All you need to do is just go for a walk. That's right, if you're stressing out, just pop on your nice walking shoes, head outside. Grab the dog if you like, if you've got one. I know I do. But you don't have to. All you have to do is get your body moving out in the world. Because there's literally nothing better for your soul than going for a wander. No matter if you're in a city or out in the countryside. Nature is all around you and nature is what you make of it. It's there in the parks, the trees, the air, the bark of a dog, the smell of burst rubbish, a truck's exhaust. It doesn't matter. As long as you're moving, walking, and getting the heart pumping, there'll be a smile on your dial in no time. I mean, in Russia, I really appreciated being able to go outside for a walk when I could because we spent 8 months of the year inside. Because if you went outside during winter, you'd freeze to death in minutes and never be seen again. We'd be digging our teammates' bodies out at the end of the winter each time. And by the end of the season, we only had like 4 guys left. It was wild. But there you go. It's simple. If you're feeling tired and feeling stressed, just get on your walking shoes and go get in touch with nature. And just let the rhythms of life wash over you. And that'll leave you feeling great, less stressed, and ready to take on the world in no time. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. Keep living your best life, and namaste.